sales time.
All right, one more time. Let's give it up for Sterling. Okay, we're going to keep it rolling. Up next, from the Free State region, Narcotics Anonymous, we got John R.
First and foremost, I want to thank the God of my understanding for coming to me with grace and mercy to get me here in rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. The program of Narcotics Anonymous has truly, truly saved my life. And you, the members of the fellowship, you taught me about a new way to live. Because when I got here in Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't know anything about it. Now, my topic is fear. And like Sterling, I like to look stuff up. Because I've learned one thing here in Narcotics Anonymous, that words have power. You know what I'm saying? And we don't always use what Mr. Webster says as the way we define stuff. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to our literature. Because I believe in our literature. This is our step working guide. All right? And this is talking, it's talking, oh. I'm a short guy. Sterling's a tall guy. Is that a little bit better now? Can you hear me back there in the back? That's right. All right. This is from step four. It's on page 36. It's talking about fear. Now, I want to get the definition across about what I'm talking about. And it says fear. If we could look at the disease of addiction stripped of its primary symptoms, that is, apart from drug use or other compulsive behavior, and without its most obvious characteristics, we would find a slump of self-centered fear. We're afraid of being hurt, or maybe just having to feel too intensely. So you live sort of a half-life, going through motions of living, but never being fully alive. We're afraid of everything that might make us feel, so we isolate and withdraw. We're afraid we'll get caught at something and have to pay a price, so we lie or cheat or hurt others to protect ourselves. We're afraid of being alone, so we use and exploit others to avoid feeling lonely or rejected or abandoned. We're afraid we won't have enough of anything, so we selfishly pursue what we want, not caring about the harm we cause in the process. Sometimes, if we gain things we care about recovery, we're afraid we'll lose what we have, and so begin compromising our principles to protect it. Self-centered, self-seeking fear, we need to uproot it so it no longer has the power to destroy. That's the type of fear I'm talking about. And if that's too complicated for you, see, I like the literature. I'm a literature person. If you don't like literature, I'm sorry. Talk to your sponsor. I'm a literature person. This little definition comes from IP number 12, the triangle of self-obsession. And it has like the most simple definition of fear that you can come up with here in Narcotics Anonymous. And it says, fear is what we feel when we think about the future. It's our response to the unknown, a fantasy in reverse. Damn! Ain't that the truth? Because look, when I got here in Narcotics Anonymous, man, you couldn't tell me I was afraid of anything. You know what I mean? I used to go up to Park Heights. I used to hang out in Brooklyn Homes in the middle of the night. You know, I used to go down to Potomac Gardens, hang out in Trinidad, Ivy City. You know, I thought I'm 10-foot tall and bulletproof. I'm a gangster, man. Nobody gonna mess with me. Look, man, like, I'm about 5-foot nothing. You know what I mean? It's just, it ain't like that. You know what I mean? I was a giant in my own mind, you know? And, you know, when I got here in Narcotics Anonymous, I had to realize that, you know, I really was afraid of stuff, you know, because once I got clean, like, I had to go back to the same abandoned house that I was shooting dope in to start my recovery. I'm from Brooklyn, Curtis Bay. I'm from Baltimore, too. I had to go back to the same abandoned house after the last facility I was in. And look, I don't like 401 East Eager, I ain't better than anybody else. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad I ain't there today. You know, so I've had to see the story of my recovery is constantly facing my fear. You know, it's constantly having to deal with it. You know, and one of the first things that I had to deal with was my appearance, the way I look. And you take a good look at me, somebody shot me in the face with a 12-gauge shotgun. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you know, that kind of put the little flip on my mind, man. You know, it was tough. You know, so I was tended to, you know, the last few years of my use, man, all I did was I stayed in my little band house, and I'd go out at night to get what I needed. I'd cop and bop, steal, do whatever I had to get what I needed, and I'd go back to my little band house and get high all by myself. You know, and that's how it was for me at the end of my road. You know what I'm saying? And so when I come here to Narcotics Anonymous, man, I'm scared. You know what I mean? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to face life on life's terms. I don't know how to live without the use of drugs, man. That's all I know. Well, I mean, if you want to know anything about that, I could have told you a whole lot of it, man. How to corrupt the band, how to cop and bop, how to rob somebody. I could tell you all that stuff. I couldn't tell you how to stay clean. You know what I mean? And I come from, I got clean by the time from Brooklyn, Curtis Bay. It has to be part of the Bay Area, which for me was a little different. It's out in the county. You know what I mean? So I was going to a lot of meetings out there and stuff, and I sort of stuck out like a sore thumb, man. I still come in there, you know, I had a beard down my belt, my hair was down my rear end, you know, I smelled like a goat, because you know what, man, when you live in a bad house, you ain't taking a whole lot of showers. You know, that wasn't part of my story when I was using, you know what I mean? And then I got that issue about the way I look, because you know what, I remember waking up in shock trauma.
Come on, dog.
Remember getting up in shock trauma with half my face being blown off and saying, God! And I'm not going to use the word because I'm trying, that's something I'm trying to change. I said, you know what? How could you leave me alive after letting half my face get blown off? So when I came here, I was afraid of you all. You know what I mean? You know, you didn't know at first, like, the first friend that ever friended me, her name was Abby. And she was from the Midnight Meeting down there in the Bay Area. And I used to show up there, and I didn't talk to any of y'all. You know, I showed up, and I set the chairs up, and I'd sit down. I wouldn't say a word, because like I said, I'm still living in an abandoned house, man. I'm still living on the streets, you know, in recovery. You know, in my first early time, you know, first couple of years of recovery was really hard. So I'd come in, I'd set up the chairs, I'd sit down for a meeting, end the meeting, I'd clean up the chairs, and I'd leave. And I wouldn't say anything to anybody. I didn't talk to anybody, man. It was like for 90 days this one. Finally, this young lady, Abby, comes up to me and talks to me. She goes, hi, I'm Abby. You know, who are you? She hugged me, man. I was like, it freaked me out. A woman, even. You know what I mean? I was really scared, man, for real. And, she reached out to me. And her sponsor, I always remember her sponsor, Chantel, said to her, what are you doing with that guy? He looks like an axe murderer, you know? So it's like, you know, people were afraid of me too, you know, and I guess with good reason, man, because I came off the streets, you know. And then when I was reading, I was reading my literature like I'm supposed to do, man, and I read something in the second step that changed my life completely. You know, this is when the recovery really opened up for me. This is when I realized I could maybe trust you guys and that I could get some help here and learn some things. And it's from page 23, it's from step two. It's from step two. It's called, it says, our humility and open-mindedness make us teachable. We allow others to share what has worked for them. This takes humility, for we must let go of our fears about how we may appear to others. Man, I mean, I got goosebumps still to this day when I read that, man. And they cheers me, man. You know, just reaches deep down inside my soul because it let me know that it didn't matter how the hell I looked here in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, the outside is just a shell. It's not the spirit that's within me. You know what I mean? And those of you that work a program in Narcotics Anonymous, you see the spirit that's in me. You know me for who I am. Because, you know, we have a language of empathy here. We know each other. You know what I'm saying? So I learned that I could do that, man. And look, I'm going to tell you this little story, because one of the things that would happen was that, like, I wasn't eating well, man. Like, I would go down to the soup kitchen down there in Curtis Bay, man, and they would give us bread at the end of, and every Friday I get a big bag of bread, you know, in a shopping bag. They didn't give us anything to eat, you know what I mean? So, like, I had it tied up on a rope, on a string in my bad house, because so the rats wouldn't eat, you know what I mean? I had it hanging across on the strings. And I had a little jar of peanut butter, man. I was eating peanut butter sandwiches for like 90 days, man. You know, I was hungry, man. I was really hungry. But I was still scared. I didn't know how to tell you guys. Look, man, I'm really hungry. I need some help. You know what I mean? And people would come to me and they'd say, like, after meets, they'd say, John, like, why don't you come out to eat with us, you know? Why don't you come on out and eat with us? And I would always want to say yes. But no would come out, you know? And I'd go back to my band house. I'd set a candle down on my chest. I'd read my basic text. It works out. Why? And that's the time I'd be going, God, why didn't I go out with those people? You know, I'm so hungry. Why didn't I go out with them? You know what? I really wanted to, but I was so scared. You know? I didn't know what to do. And thank God for you people. You know, that's why I always thank you guys, because I owe my life to you. You guys didn't give up on me. And people who practiced the 12th step, who practiced unconditional love, kept reaching out and reaching and reaching and saying, John, come to eat with us. And finally, one day I said, you know what? I'm so damn hungry. I'm going to go eat. You know what I mean? And I said, you know, it was, man. It was just at that point, you know. And I said, well, look, you know, like, I ain't got no money. And they said, well, we didn't ask you that. We just said, do you want to go eat something? I said, oh, hell yes. Yeah. So like we go to the diner, and I get me a hamburger and some french fries, and I get the death grip on it because ain't nobody taking my food from me. You know what I'm talking about. I was like, I mean, I hit that. That food gone 5 minutes, and everybody passed all their plates down. I ate all their food, and I used to be known. I swear, guys, too slow. I used to be known as eating as man in the Bay Area, man. And I always say, you never know how far that $5 cheeseburger is going to go towards saving somebody's life, man. You know what I mean? You don't know what that thing's going to do, man. And like, I try to buy something. When I see somebody standing at a meeting who's standing there alone and dirty and beat the hell up, man, those are the people I like. Those are my people. Those are people I gravitate to. Those are the newcomers I come in. I just give them a hug. I throw my arms around and say, welcome, man. What's your name? How you doing? You hungry? You know what I mean? I can't ever buy enough cheeseburgers to pay back that one $5 burger. You know what? It saved my damn life. You know what I'm saying? And I had to overcome that fear of how I appeared to you, man. And how did I do it? I did it through our literature. You know, the literature here in Narcotics Anonymous has never let me down. You know, it's practicing the principles in all our affairs. And you started saying practicing doesn't mean I always get it right. You know, because it's practice. Repetition, 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 repetition. You know, I got to keep practicing because, you know what, I am going to fall short sometimes. I'm going to let fear creep back into my life. I'm going to let it twist me up and get all mired up inside, man. I'm going to put unrealistic expectations on people and they get mad when they don't meet my needs. You know what I mean? I'm going to do that kind of stuff. That's part of fear. You know, if I won, then I got another one here, man. Like, I love our literature. And I especially love this new Living Clean. I hope everybody's got this book. It's the bomb, man. Look, this thing came out in the right time to save my life. Because you see, I'm walking with a crutch. They just put like a mile of railroad track in my back, man. You know what I mean? I got hurt at work. You know, I spent like a year fighting to get my back fixed, man. And I just got off the walker like 3 weeks ago. You know what I mean? And while I was on that, they had to put me on the line. I don't know if any of you all remember 10th of B Street down D.C. I used to be down there getting D's and Dan's all the time. You know what I mean? So when they put me on that stuff, it scared the hell out of me. I didn't know how it was going to turn out, man. You know what I mean? And when the time came, I put them down. And I'm still clean. Thank you, God. Because that's what it is. Thank you, God. And you people at Narcotics Anonymous. Because here we go. This is out of our Living Clean. The journey continues. And it's on page 110. And I'll tell you the section real quick so you got it. It's called Disability. Disability, man. Love this section. It's a good one. It's a great one. It says, gradually we find that the disability that is forced to change in our habits also changes the angle from which we see the world. We notice details we missed before. We connect with people we hadn't seen before. You know, as the rhythm of our life changes, so does the music. Man, I love that. We learn to respect rather than indulge our limitations and to build our skills and assets in new areas. We learn time and again that some of our best gifts come in the worst wrapping paper. Man, being open to lessons in every experience helps us to get through even the hardest times, knowing that we don't have to do it alone sure makes it easier. I gotta thank Narcotics Anonymous, the people here, man. Look, there's some people in my life, like, first couple months when I went through this, man, I couldn't walk at all. You know what I mean? I had to have somebody come and carry me to the emergency room for this. You know what I'm saying? And then in the middle of all this, I got something else that comes up that I'd never had before. I get kidney stones all in the middle of all this. Yeah, baby, you know? Wait till the doctor comes at you, gentlemen, with a 12-inch wire with two corkscrews on either end, and you're gonna put that where? I don't know about that. You know what I'm saying? We were talking about tolerance and patience, you know. I wanted to do some complaining about that one. I didn't like that idea. Woo! That's a scary one, man. That's a scary one. But, I had some people in my life. My little friend Michelle A. She would bring meetings into my house. She'd get some people together and bring meetings in. My little friend Jade, man, she was having twins. This little girl's 5 foot nothing too. She's like just as little as can be, having twins and having kidney stones like a going out of style. And she would take the time out of her pain to call me to see how I'm doing. You know what I mean? People came out. And there's another thing I learned here from you people that I'm thankful for. Is that I never know where my help's going to come from. You know what? I don't know what form it's going to come in. It's talked about the wrapping paper. I don't know what wrapping it's going to take. recently a woman's come back into my life that has known me since I was 12 years old. Mm. You know what? She's just out of the blue. When God, it's like God put her in my life when I needed her, man. And she is, her name's Vicky, and she's not in our fellowship. And she's just come out and she's helped me in every way that she can, man. I mean, she's taken me to doctor's appointments. She's bought me food where I didn't have any money to buy food. You know what I mean? Carrying them up the tube of flights of steps I got to go up to get up to my house. You know what I mean? It's been a rough road. The last couple of years have been a rough road. But you know what? I've learned that the way to face fear is not to do it alone. You know, I talk to my sponsor's Lance from the West Side, and I talk to that man all the time. And he's got me through this period of my life that's been the roughest in my recovery. You know, and so is Vicky and Jade and all the friends that I've had, man. You know, because I've had, like, people fall short, you know. Call them up and ask for help. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. Not show up. You know what I mean? And I want to get all ungrateful and I want to get all resentful. You know, but you know what? I have to understand that not everybody's in the same place here in Narcotics Anonymous. I got to practice another spiritual principle. How am I going to get through that anger and that disappointment? I'm going to be tolerant. That's right, because that's where they're at. That is where they are at. And you know what? One of the biggest things that's helped me overcome the fear that I've had to go through, particularly the last 2 years, and it's always been there for me, is the God of my understanding. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because when I first got here in Narcotics Anonymous, like I told you, I cursed God while I was up in shock trauma. Because I blamed God for the position I got myself in. You know? And because that's the truth. I got myself in that position, because nobody likes having about 8 inches of butcher knife shoved in them repeatedly. You know? They get mad if you leave them alive, and they come back and they shoot you. You know what I mean? And another thing someone said that really jogged me and is going to get me to get like real honest with you is that the person who shot me was my brother. Mm. My brother shot me because I had stabbed him. You know, that's the kind of family I come from. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when I come here to Narcotics Anonymous, I was like a blank slate. You know, I didn't know how to live or behave. I didn't have, like, you know, they talk about mores and values and principles. I didn't have any of that. I was going to get mine. You better get the hell out of my way. And that was all there was to it. So since I've come here, man, I've learned to do those things. And that was one of the hardest things, too, about one of the biggest fears I had was my 8th and 9th step. Because I had to face the person that shot me and make amends to them for the damage I did. Doesn't matter what he did. I want to recover. I want to be a different man. I want to stay here in my conscience. I said, what do I got to do? I got to sweep my side of the street. Man, that was not an easy event tonight. I'm telling you what. Because some of the feelings were still there. You know what I mean? They didn't go away. And, you know, I had to stand there, like, you know, we talk about it. It talks about how sometimes not all men turn out the way you're going to expect them to. Well, that one pretty much turned out the way I expected it to. It wasn't beautiful, you know. But I went ahead and did it anyway, man, because I wanted to stay here in Narcotics Anonymous. And it's only through God's grace that I'm here, you know. And I had such a hard time coming to the point where I believed in a God, that I needed a God in my life because of all the things I was going through and all the things that I've gone through. And without that God, I don't think I would have ever stayed here. And I had a hard time with the first step because I couldn't understand what God's will was. So once again, I went back to the literature. The literature doesn't let me down. You know, the literature don't let me down, man. I find my answers there. So what do? I go to the 11th step. And in the 11th step, and I'm going to close with this because this is, I mean, this says it all to me about Narcotics Anonymous. To me, it's the most profound paragraph that we got in all of our writings. It's page 112. It's the 11th step, and it works out why. And it talks about what God's will is for us. You know what I mean? And when I'm living in God's will, I'm facing my fingers. I'm facing my fear. I'm going to face everything in recovery. I ain't going to run because guess what? This is what's at the end of the road for me. And this here it is. We see that regardless of the presence or absence of material success in our lives, we can be content. We can be happy and fulfilled with or without money, with or without a partner, with or without the approval of others. We've begun to see God's will for us as very little dignity, to love ourselves and others, to laugh and to find great joy and beauty in our surroundings. Yes. Our most heartfelt longings and dreams for our lives are coming true. Yes. Man, these precious gifts are no longer beyond our reach. They are, in fact, the very essence of God's will for us. That's right, man. Woo! Agnew and John. Thank you.
All right, Johnny!
God bless you, God. Thank you.